Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, we hope it's not too late to wish you a blessed and prosperous new year. There are secrets to prosperity we'd like to share with you today. In the book of Proverbs we read, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Well, did you know prosperity is linked to confession of sin, the making of restitution? Why is it many are not prospering today? Could it be that prosperity for many might be linked to the payment of debts as recorded in this news report?
One of the oldest debts ever owned General Telephone Company was settled recently when the company received a $4 payment for a call made in 1934. Along with the money was an anonymous letter which said the writer had intended to stop at the company's office and pay the bill, but always forgot to do so. "This has bothered me a lot of times," said the writer, "because I'm a Christian and I don't want this to hinder me when the Lord calls me to leave this world."
And here's another item of interest reported by World Religious News.
A black Chattanooga preacher recently startled his congregation by admitting that he stole $3,000 from a food store where he worked as a clerk 14 years ago. The preacher, Reverend W.C. Hunter, says an aching conscience caused him to own up to the theft. Reverend Hunter says he accepted Christ a few years later, then entered the ministry. All these years, he was the only one that knew of the theft. He says he expected to be arrested when he went to the store and confessed, but the statute of limitations had run out. He has now paid his first $50 restitution. I ask Reverend Hunter the reaction of his congregation.
They wasn't any way like any Pharisees, and they recognized that their pastor had been a sinner once. That's all it was to it, that he had been a sinner once. And they looked at their lives that they had been a sinner once. Many of them had done things, and they just said, "Well, we forgive you. I know if God forgave you, we don't hold anything against you. We appreciate the word of God that's being preached."
Reverend W.C. Hunter, who made restitution after 14 years. Marvin Easley in Chattanooga for World Religious News.
Well, some might ask today, what are the secrets of prosperity? How can I have a blessed new year? The Lord told Joshua, saying, "Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Ah, that's the first secret of success today. Realize the Lord is with you. That is, if you've given him place in your heart and life, he doesn't force himself upon anyone. You must open your heart to him. Revelation 3:20 we read, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and he with me." Isn't that a pretty good deal? Here's the God of the universe, he who planned the orbits of the sun, the moon, and the stars, offering you opportunity to dwell in your hearts by faith. In the second place, seek the Lord's help and guidance every day. While we believe it's absolutely important for that decision to receive Christ as Savior and Lord, letting him forgive you of your sins and having his peace, yet it's also necessary for you to take a moment every day to invite him to guide you, to direct your life. A favorite verse of many is Proverbs 3:5 and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Ah, did you hear it? So begin every day by dropping to your knees to pray, "Lord, take over in my life today. Guide me by your Spirit. Lead me into paths that are right. Protect me and my family from sickness, from harm and danger. Keep your hand of love around me, for I'm your child and you're my Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, I pray." Now, you need not pray that exact prayer, but every day acknowledge your dependence upon the Lord. He promises to direct your paths as in all your ways you acknowledge your dependence upon him. Then in the third place, you'll find the secret of prosperity linked to meditations upon the Word of God. How wonderful that this program is heard on nearly 1,000 stations. We have the unique privilege of tying in the news of the day with the Word of God. We believe the secret that many have discovered is to let the Word of God motivate them as they read and meditate upon the Scriptures. The Lord told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Isn't that what we want today? Do you realize the Word of God could have that kind of effect upon your life? For here's the promise of prosperity and success linked to meditation upon the Scriptures, along with the observance of those things written therein. Now, it's not enough just to read the Bible. That's important. But James declares, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetting what manner of man he was." Isn't that typical of some of us? We hear the message, but we think it's for someone else. Or we don't consider our reading of the Bible to be that important. I'm reminded of a meeting where I met a Sunday school teacher who invited me to speak in the church he attended. He told me he taught character studies to his class, discussing the lives of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln. "I don't know anything about the Bible," he said. "Won't you come and share its message with us?" Ah, may God help us. Without the Scriptures, there cannot be salvation, let alone success. How many business failures could be prevented? How many bankruptcies could be avoided if only God were the center of their business? And one of my good friends testifies how his business was failing. He faced total defeat when the thought came to him, why not turn the business over to God? He did so, even putting the Lord, the head of the corporation, making himself just another employee. His business immediately began to boom. It has become so great it's occupied almost a city block with plans to relocate elsewhere because of God's blessing. Ah, my friends, you can't lose when God's your senior partner and the Holy Spirit is your guide. However, there must be proper business ethics if you want God to bless. You can't expect the Lord to bless dishonesty. He won't bless cheating. He won't bless lying. Sometimes it looks like you may be gaining by such improper business ethics. But remember, friend, there's a payday someday. Salvation is a gift. The Bible says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What gift did you get for Christmas that you still have and still appreciate? Toys are easily lost. Appliances break down. Autos are smashed in accidents. Homes destroyed by fire. But eternal life, my friends, is a lasting possession you can have now and enjoy forever. When the Bible speaks of salvation, it isn't merely referring to a mere assent to a known fact. Some think they're saved merely by believing that Jesus died on the cross for them 1900 years ago. Well, surely belief in the historical fact of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is absolutely important to one's salvation. Paul says, "I declare unto you the gospel, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Ah, that's the gospel, the good news, that Jesus died for you. He died on the cross for your sins, that you might be forgiven. When he was buried, so your sins were buried with him, that they might be remembered against you no more forever. That's if you've truly repented of them. And our Lord lives to keep you. But unless you follow through in your faith in a life of purity and holiness, you're not fulfilling the role God intended for your life. It is possible to believe in vain, says Paul. Earlier we related how those who had done wrong made restitution. Their conscience would not permit them to go on until they found forgiveness. But what about that person from whom you have stolen? He won't have faith in your experience of conversion until you go to him and make it right. or if you've said something that wasn't true about your friend, you need to go and confess it. That, too, is a part of salvation, my friend. A federal judge in Fresno, California, received this letter which stated, 30 years ago when I was in the service, I took something in the value of $5, and I want forgiveness from God first, and then from my government. And so I'm enclosing $25, hoping this will be a little to show forgiveness. Now, doesn't that remind us of Zacchaeus, a tax collector whose conversion is recorded in the 19th chapter of Luke? Zacchaeus told the Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. When Jesus heard this, he replied, this day is salvation come to this house. Has it ever occurred to you that faith and repentance are inseparable links to salvation? Well, a person is saved by receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. We recall our Lord's assertion, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Many believe that repentance is a forgotten truth and that restitution is a forgotten virtue. For a man to return stolen property gives evidence of the genuineness of one's sincerity of faith. And so we repeat, salvation is not merely returning stolen goods. Rather, it's a matter of believing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins by accepting forgiveness from him. But then, too, we will want to make our wrongs right. Surely, as the scripture testifies, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Like the man who wrote the California judge to make amends for stealing, if those who similarly have done wrong would seek forgiveness and restore what they've taken, it could bring about the revival we need in America today. These are days to examine our hearts, to get right with God and man through genuine and sincere acts of repentance and faith. And particularly in view of the coming of the Lord, do we need to heed this message? To be paid up, prayed up, and ready to go up. For remember, he hath said, be therefore ready also. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.